Hopefully, this video can help spread the word about the prosecutorial and investigative misconduct in the Schaefer Cox case. As Senator Cornyn feared,
how does any citizen know that the Department of Justice won't abide by similar prosecutorial misconduct in the future?
Although the appellate judges did show skepticism, and rightly so, make no mistake about it. Even though there is overwhelming evidence in Schaefer's favor, getting his conviction overturned is going to be an uphill battle. He needs your help. If this could happen to Schaefer, it could happen to you.
Now, what you're about to hear is a presentation that Schaefer Cox gave on the Second Amendment. Listen very carefully. You wonder why this gentleman was targeted.
There's been this ongoing assault on the right to keep and bear arms, and not just the right to keep and bear arms, but all of our rights that we have naturally as human beings and that are recognized in the Constitution.
And Washington, I'll remind you that Washington said the final keepers of the Constitution are the people themselves.
The House and the Senate, Congress, federal government, has rejected the Constitution.
The Constitution is a dear document that is only as good as you protect it. This Second Amendment was protected.
Thank you. Yeah. We have no obligation to submit to a government that refuses to submit to their governing document.
If any government should decide that we have to register certain of our arms or turn them in, what would your recommendation be?
Don't do it. Sincerely mean that. Don't turn them in.
The way that this got started was several weeks ago. I was doing a radio show, and I wasn't even talking about firearms. I was talking about economics. But somebody called the station after the show was over and said, hey, what are we going to do about all these firearms restrictions that just keep coming down the pipe? It's like they just never end. And I said, well, I don't know. Let's get together and talk about it at Denny's on Monday night. And 150 people showed up, and I was expecting maybe 18 or 20, but there was standing room only, 150 people. And so then the next week later, we only had a week to organize, but we found a place big enough to meet, and we wound up with 700 people showed up to this next meeting to talk about what we're going to do and to go over the principles of human nature and natural law and higher law that are a part of every human being, and that are ingrained in us, and that we're recognized in the Constitution, and that we as individuals have a responsibility to defend. So at that first meeting, where we had 150 people, I brought this letter that I wrote. And I thought it's a pretty strong letter, and there could probably be some parting of the ways, and it was kind of a choose this day whom you will serve letter. But you know what? Everybody there signed this letter. Let me read this to you. Let it be known that we, the people of Alaska, stand in recognition of the true principle that whenever a government abandons the purpose for which we have created it, and even becomes hostile towards that which it was once a defender of, it is no longer a fit steward of the political power that is inherent in the people and lent to this government with strict conditions. These conditions are clearly defined in the United States Constitution and understood by the common man. Furthermore, to the extent that our government violates these conditions, they nullify their own authority, at which point it is our right and duty, not as subjects, but as sovereign Americans, to entrust this power to new stewards who will not depart from the laws that we have given thee. This being the case, let it be known that should our government seek to further tax, restrict, register firearms, or otherwise impose on the right that shall not be infringed, thus impairing our ability to exercise the God-given right to self-defense, which precedes all human legislation and is superior to it, that the duty of us good and faithful people will not be to obey them, but to alter or abolish them, and institute new governments, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to us shall seem most likely to affect our safety and happiness. God gave every man the right to life, liberty, and property, a corresponding obligation to defend those rights. We delegate that responsibility, not entirely, but in part, to a government to do what we have a natural right to do, which is to protect them. But they've become a liability to that. It's nobody's job but our own to make sure that the government doesn't become detrimental to the purpose which we created it. Now, there's several ways that we're going about this, because we can all just sit around and gripe about what we know is going on, or we can get something done. So first of all, what we're doing on the federal level is we are asking our congressmen and our senators to abolish the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is allowed to print trillions of dollars out of thin air, and dollars respond to the law of supply and demand, just like anything else does. When the amount of dollars goes up, the value of each individual dollar goes down. Now, the value lost by your dollar is value transferred to the federal government. Now, not only does this weaken the individual citizen in order to strengthen the federal government, but then the federal government turns around and offers this money back to the states or back to your county or your local government with strings attached, a.k.a., we're going to give you this much money for roads and law enforcement, but only if you implement this gun registration program. And then on the state levels, and this would be different for every state, but in Alaska, what we're doing is we're pushing for the, first and foremost, the Alaska Firearms Freedom Act. Now, this was sponsored by a guy by the name of Joel Bonnick in Montana. And what this piece of legislation does is it's a declaratory piece of legislation that says, a firearm or a firearm accessory or ammunition that's manufactured within the state and stays in the state is none of the federal government's jurisdiction under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. And furthermore, if the federal government tries to prosecute anybody, it's the job of our Attorney General to defend that person in full. Second thing that we're doing on a state level, and that we'd like to do on a federal level, it'd be very hard to do on a federal level though, is to pass fully informed jury legislation. Because Congress can write a law, the president can sign a law, and a court can rule on a law, but the juror is the only one in the whole country who's been entrusted with the power to actually enforce a law. And so what this does is it puts it in the statute of the state that the judge has to allow the jury to know why they're there. The function of juries, when understood, gives profound meaning to the phrase, we the people. So then, the third thing that we're doing on the state level is that we're pushing for a sovereignty bill. A sovereignty bill would actually enact law that would say, if the federal government does these certain things, then we are going to seek certain recourse. Then it's the right, no, the responsibility of the states who created them, in essence, hired them, to get together and discuss whether they want to have a sit-down with them and tell them they better straighten up or they're going to lose their job, or to just disband them, fire them, and institute a new federal government that's not going to get so out of hand. So on the individual level, we've made a commitment to stand together in non-compliance to further firearms restrictions and raise money for a legal battle, if need be. And then the second thing that we're doing is that we're signing this letter, this letter of declaration, so that everybody in our community knows that they're not alone. And then the other thing that we're doing is making a commitment to do your duty as a juror and not convict a firearms offense. Now, somebody said, well, you need to change that because what if somebody robbed a bank with a firearm? We need to convict them for that. Well, you can convict them for robbing a bank, not for having a firearm. The more I thought about that, there's no such thing as a firearms offense. The other thing that we've been doing is open carry days on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or certain days of the week. We all agree that this is going to be an open carry day, and you carry openly. And it feels kind of weird at first, but the reason that this is important and the reason that this is productive is because it helps to break the social stigma that only cops and robbers have guns. The individual things stand together in noncompliance to further firearms restrictions. Not convict a firearms offense if you're on a jury. Participate in open carry days and sign the letter of declaration so that you can stand up and be counted and let others know that you are that they're not the only one. You know, people always tell me, well, I don't want to be on a list. Well, if everyone's on the list, no one's on the list.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what you are about to hear is a presentation on the Hagman and Hagman Report by Kate Daly, formerly of Fox News. She's been also, I believe, on The Blaze. She has her own radio talk show. And this is what she has to say about Schaefer Cox.
Yeah, this is not going to be a first-time deal here because, you know, I tune in to a lot of your podcasts, and you're hitting so many critical issues. And quite frankly, I'm surprised you're not being interfered with. But you've got something on the radar here, Kate, that really shocked me. We got into it some depth this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we put out a re-release of our show advertisement to a lot of different venues, and I reshaped it based on what you told me. And let's just go there. Let's talk about CMU's prisons and scare the heck out of us, because this is frightening stuff.
You know what? It is. I am so happy to be here. Thanks, Dave. I really love what you do, so thank you. And Katie as well. Okay, so I was looking at Schaefer Cox's story. Schaefer Cox is a political prisoner. He was very young, in his low 20s, married with a baby, and he was actually just sort of speaking out about the Constitution, about how people should love the Constitution, and our government doesn't love the Constitution, doesn't want to abide by it. There was a group that was started under him called the Alaska Peacemakers Militia, peacemakers being the operative word there. And he was all about peace, and he was all about making sure that people understood that the idea of a militia was just really, it was conceptual. It was an idea, an ideology, not necessarily something that was going to go get violent. It was just something that was going to be something that people should be aware of, that you fight for the causes if it ever gets to that point, but not now, kind of thing. So anyway, the FBI did everything they could to bring him down. And they even, I think, in my opinion, after reading the whole case, planted evidence against him. He never incited violence against the government. He never did anything. He never threatened anybody. But he's sitting in what's called a CMU now for 25 years of his life. He is not allowed to hug his wife or child. He gets about 30 minutes a week with them. Not with them, just on the phone with them. He was transferred to what is a secret prison. It's a prison within a prison. There are two of them right now. One was started in 2006, and the other one was started in 2008. These secret prisons were started by the Board of Prisons for political prisoners. Now, first they were started for terrorists, and they have now been converted for political prisoners. That's really important information for your listeners to know. A CMU stands for Communication Management Unit, and these units are held, and they are the prisoners that go in there are your well-spoken people that have maybe, been taken in for their First Amendment because they somehow violated the First Amendment in the government's eyes, have been convicted of thought crime. Not necessarily crime, thought crime. The problem with these CMUs is that once you get in, you cannot get out. And there is no Board of Prison review for you. There is no appeal for you. You are sent to one of these prisons. One is in Indiana. One is in Illinois. They were started under George W. Bush. And then Obama has given it the green light. We're going to see more of these, and these communication management units are so secretive and so diabolical that when you're put in, if you cannot talk to your spouse or any friends about who is in there, what they're in there for, or what they do to you in there, you're not allowed to talk about it. And the idea there is one of the inmates risked his life in saying, Schaefer Cox, in coming out and saying, if you get put in and you talk about it, they could put you in the hole for 25 years and nobody will be forced to do a review on it. Nobody will get you out of there. So they're all threatened and warned that if you do not stay on topic in the 30 minutes provided each week with the person that you're talking to on the phone, by the way, murderers get four times that amount of call time. Pedophiles get four times that amount of call time. Political prisoners, 30 minutes a week, 6 pages of mail a month that is heavily scrutinized by the staff. And then they tell you what subjects you can talk about. You have absolutely zero human rights.
Scary. Zero. Scary.
Yeah.
Well, where is this legislation coming out of Congress that I can look at? Is there an executive order that says this
there
is
isn't.
Now the law?
It was actually started by the Board of Prisons. It was given the green light, first of all, for terrorists. So terrorists were supposed to be held in here. But you know what? Ever since the NDAA, it's very interesting, isn't it, in 2012, that now all of a sudden we have political prisoners in there, and they haven't done anything wrong. Honestly, there isn't anything concrete. It's usually made-up stuff by the FBI that gets them in there. And it's nothing that they've actually done. It's only things they're reported to maybe conceive of doing in the future. So these CMUs got the green light. Now, the CCR, the Center for Constitutional Rights, has actually filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in British and Columbia, 2012, Arif versus Holder, as in Eric Holder. Yes, he was the one that was behind these two in 2008, the one that just, there was one in 2006, one in 2008. Well, so it's against Eric Holder, and it is basically saying these are unconstitutional. How in the world are you doing these? Well, nothing has happened with this case. This case, actually, the Board of Prisons just tightened up to have stricter rein on who's in a CMU. They have done nothing to abolish the CMU, and most Americans do not know about them. So most Americans aren't going to their congressmen and saying, I'm sorry, what is this? Because I will venture to say that we will have more of these cropping up over the entire nation. You'll see more CMUs enacted to hold people like journalists, bloggers, people that stand up for the Constitution. That's basically what Schaefer Cox was doing. He was standing up for the Constitution, and he said that the government was not abiding by it. And they got on his radar and would not let go and kept trying to get him to say that he would do something violent to the government, he would do something, carry out some act. And even though in all the rolls of tape that they taped on him, he never said once that he would be violent, they went ahead and put him in the CMU and have convicted him of things that he might be able to do in the future, like inciting a crowd to violence, even though that isn't what has happened. In fact, the CMU is so tightly controlled that he has no way to even talk to an attorney, so he can't get an appeal filed. Last time I checked on his what he was talking about as far as his wife, and everybody has been reporting on him. So he can't. He's in there for 25 years. I doubt he'll ever get out for 25 years.
I doubt he'll ever get out, period, unless we have a miracle in this country and turn this stuff around. What concerns me is this, and it sounds like it's a case of the BLM and the EPA all rolled into one, that the Board of Prisons, based on their own authority, are making law that's reserved for lawmakers.
Yes.
Am I getting this correctly?
Yes, you're right, Dave, because there wasn't any public notice of this. The public never had a chance to comment on this. The Board of Prisons, under the Department of Injustice, because I think that's what we need to really call them, the Department of Injustice, started these CMUs without any type of oversight, except for the Department of Justice. That's scary.
Do you remember when the San Bernardino shootings went down by that member of ISIS, and then Loretta Lynch came out, and rather than supporting the families, she said, if you dare to speak out against Muslim extremists, we're coming after you. I'm taking that as a threat now in a whole different light.
Oh, yeah. Between that and climate deniers, they're having a field day on the First Amendment. And we are the ones that care about the country, the ones that would stand up and not be violent, because I've never, ever even talked about violence on my show, ever. I don't even want that. But those that even speak about the Constitution, they call them what now, originalists? You are an originalist, Dave, because you believe in the Constitution. You know that old document, the original document? That's what's so sad, is we've gotten to a point where the Department of Justice, which operates out of the District of Columbia by a whole other set of rules, and Dave and I could probably do a whole show just on that, and who you are really a citizen of, because it's not the United States of America, it's the United States. It's a totally different corporation. But the Department of Justice operates out of the executive branch. The president is in charge of the executive branch. There is no oversight. They can do stuff without Congress. They can do stuff. They can do anything they want to do. And they have free reign. And I don't know if people really understand or realize how much free reign they actually have. When you go file a court case, you have to do so in the District of Columbia. Has anyone ever wondered about that? You have to go file your court case in U.S. District Court for the Department of Injustice. And so this is scary stuff for Americans. If you don't know what your rights are and you don't know what you can do about them, you're stuck in a CMU because you're a political prisoner. When they transfer you into that CMU, the Communications Management Unit, you can't. They give you no opportunity or any rules written down to say this is how you get out of there. And sometimes prisoners are put in there because they have problems with some of the rules, or they question what's going on in a regular prison. So they're sent into a CMU so that it's even stricter, so that you have basic zero civil rights, zero human rights, which means you get nothing unless they hand it to you or give it to you, which they give you nothing. So they can stick you in solitaire for months and months and months at a time in there, which is considered inhumane by the awful United Nations. It's considered inhumane, but they still can do it and not have to report it to anybody. They do not have to report it. So you could be stuck in there. If you get out of there finally, out of solitary, you're still in a CMU. If you go and tell your spouse that you were in solitary, you could be put back into solitary for years and nobody would hear from you. And there is no appeals process and no rules as to which they say, okay, if you do these five things, you can get out of here, you know, out of the stricter unit. That's why prisoners, really, they go in, never, ever come out, because there's no way to get out. They don't publish even their own rules to this secret prison.
Kate, I was going to ask you, Katie here. Kate, I know this is confusing. Sure. You know if these prisons are privately owned prisons or if these are federal prisons that are doing
these
this.
These are federal. These are federal prisons for what's considered federal prisoners, just like the Bundys would be. And these are run by the Board of Prisons, the BOP. These are not private.
Okay.
Yep, there's no oversight either.
I've read that the feds can actually bring in the equivalent of a PPP and have private prison people run it.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I know that the oversight from on high comes from the Department of Injustice and then also the BOP. So those are the two that have instigated it. Maybe they can run it by private. I'm not sure.
Let's talk about private prison just for a second to maybe perhaps see the links.
Sure.
One of the things that will shock people, and if they go to my website in the search engine at the Common Sense Show and put in privatized prisons and the CCA, what they'll eventually come across is how these prisoners are used as slave labor. They're paid anywhere between 4 to 50 cents an hour, usually on the lower side. And they're making products that are sold in companies like Neiman Marcus, all kinds of Wall Street firms, Target's involved. And as a result, what we have is slave labor. And if you don't comply with exactly what the privatized prison people want, they, without judicial approval, without the oversight of a judge, can add days and months and years onto your sentence. And I'm kind of thinking, because they're so self-contained, that what I'm reading, and I actually reached out to a couple people after we talked today, Kate, they said that the government can bring in whoever they want to run these, and they would be better off to let privatized prisons run these with their personnel, because then they have one-step deniability. In other words, if there's ever a day of accountability, it's the first line that goes down, and everybody else goes, well, they just got away from their mission.
Wow.
And that, that's what I was told today. So that's something I really want to investigate because this is like the Chicago black site too. And you may know about this where if you're arrested in Chicago, they look at your profile, your attitude, your demeanor, and they make a decision whether you go to a regular jail or you go to the black site where light's a living hell.
Yeah. No, you know what? That is some scary stuff right there. I am telling you, when the Patriot Act passed and we were all, you know, oh my gosh, and it gave them the leeway to do what they did, they could have said domestic terrorism all throughout the 2000s, right? And they could have, and all of us would say, oh yeah, throw them in and lock away the key. Little did we know when the NDAA came out that that would actually mean us as citizens, that that was now going to mean somebody violating using their free speech to denounce what the government's doing. Now we're going after you and I. Now there are people in there like you and I. And the sad part is that most Americans are oblivious. When they hear the word terrorist, they say, we don't even care, don't give them any rights, right? But when we say political prisoner, that they've deemed them terrorists, but we say political prisoner because we know that that's what they are. Now, is that going to finally catch people's attention? Are we finally going to understand that people are being stripped of their rights and now they could be you and I and we could end up in one of these black holes like you're talking about, or we could end up in a CMU like what I'm talking about when it's you're in there because you're talking about the Constitution. You're in there because you're denouncing what the government is doing. This is so scary to me that when I read it, I got emotional. I don't really get very emotional. I know I'm a girl, but I'm not like super girly. I don't get cry or emotional. I got emotional and I thought, nobody knows this is going on. These people are stuck in here for 25 years and they can hand these huge, heavy sentences. And nobody cares because they've labeled them with the word domestic terrorists, like they do the Bundys, and then they label them with, well, you know, whatever they want. Basically, they can come up with whatever they want. It's sick. It's sick.
You know, Kate, while you were talking, I had a brilliant idea, is we don't know what a political prisoner is because we've never, as a culture, have had to deal with this. We need to educate the public now on some new terms that are coming out. One of them is, what is a political prisoner, and drill it down to the core, to the public. And also, if on people's blogs or Facebook or whatever, let's make a list of what the DOJ constitutes as a domestic terrorist and write that out. Do you believe in the Constitution?
Yes.
Do you believe in this and that? So that people have a clear idea of this propaganda and then turn the propaganda on them so that it's sort of like what was that movie with Kirk Douglas? I Am Spartacus. So if everyone is a domestic terrorist, then it becomes a joke.
Right. No, I totally get that. So, okay, in a domestic terrorist, if they want to come after you, the reason they're going to come after you is if they can pin somehow, some way that you're talking violence, inciting violence, inciting a riot, getting other people to go along with what you're going to say. That is the number one red flag to them to be able to give them leeway to come after you. And I would say that we say political prisoner because we know the truth. They are a political prisoner. They are held for political reasons. And the political reason is they don't like the politics of what's going on, and they talk about it. But they'll do it under the guise of domestic terrorism because when they say terrorism, we don't seem to care. We say they deserve it. They deserve anything they get.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol, I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Because if they're going to use it as domestic terrorism, good old Harry Reid likes to use that term, then now we have to say, well, what does that mean to our government when it's us? When it's us, not some foreigner, when it's us, when it's their own people. It's that's the sad part, is that it's usually because they can say, well, that person belongs to a militia, or that person is inciting people, or they're getting people excited about violence, and that's usually the big red flag.
Well, we're talking to Kate Daly from Fox News Radio. In fact, you can follow her at foxnews1450.com, KZNU out of St. George, Utah. And great show. You can catch her live stream, I believe, Kate, and I also know that you have podcasts because I listen to them. And before we go further here, because I need to take a breath, I'm getting a headache from this. This stuff is...
I know.
I mean, when you said you got emotional, I'm almost getting nauseous from hearing that I live in a country like this now. This is the worst totalitarian government among the G20. There is no question. We are now a totalitarian government. But anyway, tell people how they can listen to your show.
FoxNews1450.com. You can hit a listen live button. I'm on it every day from 1 to 4. And I also do The Blaze. So I'm a podcast on the Blaze Radio Network, and you can listen to The Kate Show every Saturday on the Blaze Radio Network. So I have two different shows, and you can go to SoundCloud and look up The Kate Daly Show or The Kate Show, and you can get all these episodes. There's probably about 550 episodes up right now on SoundCloud. We go over numerous topics, lots of topics, and you name it. We've done it probably on the show.
I know. Hey, I've been there.
Do you think the organization COWS can help the COWS, the senators that are helping the ranchers, can they help these people?
Yes. Anytime we can get our elected officials to speak out and bring awareness, because it's been crickets on a lot of these land and rancher issues, which has really been sad for me to witness.
And now what you are about to hear, it's slightly dated. It's a 2016 letter sent to Rudy and Aaron Davis, our fellow hosts, from Schaefer regarding an incident that put him back in the CMU. I want you all to hear what is going on inside these prisons. And if you can, in good conscience, do nothing, say nothing, and take a stand for nothing, well, let the chains rest lightly upon your neck. And posterity, forget that you were ever my countryman.
Good morning, everyone. Without commentary, here's a letter from Schaefer Cox that arrived this morning. Subject: hard news. September 1st, 2016, 9:20 a.m. Well, everyone, when you get out of the illegal black site prison for political prisoners called the Communications Management Unit, CMU, they will still watch you for a while. You have to go 6 months without getting in any trouble or getting any write-ups. Then they supposedly take you off the extra monitoring and forget about you. I was doing great. I was smooth sailing my way right towards my 6 months of clear conduct being completed with ease. They saw I was going to make it, and so they wrote me this completely made-up incident report when I was just 7 days from my six-month mark. I didn't do anything wrong to deserve it. It just came out of the blue. The honest truth is that it's all about funding. The mooches that run the CMU get obscene amounts of money for each prisoner they keep in this sham unit. I didn't do anything to deserve this. They were just renewing my lease so they can use me as an excuse to rip off taxpayers. My whole entire case is like this. All of post-9/11 America is built on this business model. Anyway, the regular prison staff called me to the office and told me that the counterterrorism unit from Virginia wrote me up and that I was being put in solitary confinement. They also told me that if I was found guilty of the write-up when I went to see the disciplinary hearing officer, DHO, that I would most likely be sent back to the CMU. This broke my heart since I have no contact with my children while I'm in the CMU. I asked to see the evidence against me, and they told me I couldn't. I don't think there is any. There can't be. Anyway, I sat in solitary confinement for the last 21 days without even a pen that works. Then, before I even been found guilty of the bogus write-up, they moved me back into the CMU. That's where I am now. Who knows when or if I'll see the DHO. I'll see what I can do. But when you are getting obviously railroaded on some BS, there's usually not a lot of reasonable options. I'm sad to be back here, but I'm okay. All the prisoners I got to know so well over the past several years I was in here were sad to see me back. But they all welcomed me with the kind of understanding and empathy that only people who have suffered the same torture could. They carried my bags up to my cell, then three guys scrubbed it spotless. My old yoga partner unpacked my bags and put all my things back the way they were before I left. That's how well he knew me. The Arabs all came and welcomed me with salams, then made me some good food. The fat Jew did my laundry and fixed all the things that had been broken in the move. Then the Nazi author and activist pulled out all my... Then the Nazi author and activist pulled out all my books and uncrumpled the pages and set them under some weights. I took a shower and shaved, then walked laps with a dear friend from Russia. He cried when he saw me. He hugged me like a son and didn't say a word. He didn't need to. We both understood the pain that words could not describe. So here I am. I will rest a few days, then get back to work. All things work together for good. This too shall pass. Schaefer.
That is enough evidence for today. I will now retire and consider my ruling.
You have no right to sit in judgment.
No?
I am the authority here.
The only authority I recognize is that of gods, and you, sir, are not here.
Reverend, I believe this...
No, it's all right. Let him speak. This will be his last sermon.
A man may believe in freedom from tyranny and not be a rebel or a traitor. If he is not free to make up his own mind, that is the worst form of tyranny.
Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Folks, we reported on this before. A woman was apparently shot by the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, while ATVing or an off-road vehicle riding with her, I believe it was her husband. So this is the latest out of the Free Range report. So... one of the most disturbing details of the case of the shooting at this canyon is the assertion by the investigating Bureau of Land Management officer that knowingly or unknowingly, going outside of designated off-roading boundaries is sufficient justification for shooting unarmed citizens. Now, what's really disturbing is this shooting apparently happens on June 10th, right? Now, what I find really interesting is that I've run all kinds of searches on YouTube for BLM, California shooting, Canyon, and all of that, and I can't bring up one single YouTube video, report, news report, anything, nothing on this shooting. Shooting ranges, Beardew Canyon, hardest part, Toyota, Tacoma. And people are out there 4x4ing and ATVing all the time. And I don't know the specifics. All we know is what we have here from information on the ground. But it's really interesting to me that a federal officer can shoot an unarmed citizen, and there's such a blackout on the one source that we all used to use to upload our reports. Everyone knows my main account was terminated. By now, I would have had a video out on my primary account. I'd have had thousands of views on it. But there are others out there that are reporting on this stuff too. And apparently there's just nothing coming up in the search results. Okay. This is very kind of disturbing, a trend that we see with YouTube. Now, there is, this does come up in search results when you're looking for a headline. So it's not a blackout on all news reports. I just found that it was very interesting that on YouTube itself, which is what many of us are having a really, really big problem with, the censorship of YouTube, it really disturbs me. And, you know, right about the time that the Bundy Ranch thing happened and the BLM was doing what they were doing, you know, Black Lives Matter popped out. BLM. And then you could hardly get information up on the BLM. As you can see here, this is all Black Lives Matter related material that pops up when you run a search. So anyway, I've tried a number of search results. Just, it amazes me that there is no report on this coming up, at least not showing in the search results. So once again, we're going to go to the Free Range Report by Marjorie Hahn. God, I love her writing. Conservative leaders in Congress have been trying for years to pass legislation that would demilitarize federal agencies and properly give law enforcement powers back to local agencies such as sheriff's departments and state patrol agencies. In 2017, former Congressman Jason Chaffetz unsuccessfully attempted to pass legislation that would strip all law enforcement powers from the Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service. Most recently, Senator Mike Lee of Utah held a hearing in the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources addressing the ongoing abysmal record of abuse, aggression, overreach, and cover-ups by law enforcement within the Bureau of Land Management and sister agencies such as the U.S. Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife Service, 86 million services for the operations of one. The hearing highlighted particularly egregious acts which have occurred at the hands of BLM law enforcement manager Dan Love and under the director of William Woody, current BLM OLES, which is the Office of Law Enforcement Director, and Salvatore Lauro, former BLM OLES director. Since Senator Lee's meeting, there have been at least two incidents in which BLM officers have used deadly force against citizens. Since just the first of this year, federal law enforcement agents have been involved in a series of deadly encounters, which include January 5th, Forest Service officer kills unarmed man found on highway following car crash in Kansas. We reported on that. May 27th, the BLM officer kills a man in Colorado desert during a shootout. We reported on that as well. June 10th, BLM officer shoots off-roader in California for allegedly failure to submit to an investigation. Right. So the most recent incident resulted when some off-roaders in California simply strayed outside of designated boundaries on BLM-managed lands. It only goes to show you how dangerous giving them the authority of creating these boundaries even is. These lands should be managed by the states. It is alarming not just because there was no clear crime, but because the BLM agent resorted so quickly to deadly force against an unarmed citizen who posed no threat to him. KMIR reported, an officer with BLM or the Bureau of Land Management officer shot a woman who was off-roading on Burdue Canyon off of Dillon Road, Riverside County. Sheriff's investigators responded Sunday at 11 p.m., but were in the remote canyon most of the day Monday. The preliminary investigation revealed at this time that the Bureau of Land Management officers responded to assist the Joshua Tree National Park Service Ranger with an illegal off-road failure to yield investigation, said RSO Riverside Sheriff's Office investigator Armando Munoz. He says they were trying to get the off-roaders to stop. A Bureau of Land Management officer attempted to stop the off-road vehicle and an officer-involved shooting occurred at that time, he said. That adding the female hurt was a passenger, adult female, that was in an off-road vehicle, was injured as a result of the shooting, and transported to a local hospital for treatment of the non-life-threatening injuries that she suffered. And a male adult was also detained at the scene. A friend of the victim who did not want to be identified tells KMIR the couple was riding side-by-side off-road vehicle and the woman shot is a nurse and would never threaten an officer. I'm wondering if these people even knew that they were being stopped. It sounds to me as though they may not have even realized.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, the flood down in Texas. Oh, and the telephone lines are down. Yes, the flood down in Texas.
So, one of the most disturbing details of this case is the assertion by the investigating BLM officer that knowingly or unknowingly, going outside of a designated off-roading boundaries is sufficient justification for shooting an unarmed citizen. Welcome to the USSA, folks. The KMIR report quotes the BLM Range Safety Officer, or RSO, investigating the shooting. Munoz says armed officers patrol the federal lands, and it is important before you go off-roading to know where you're going. we're talking about oftentimes desert areas, they don't have yellow lines. This is absolutely retarded and absurd. They're public lands, by the way, anyway, so it really shouldn't be that much of an issue. It's not like they're living and building a house on it. But anyway, before you go out and use these vehicles, to make sure that you are driving them in a place where it's allowed. Sometimes people go out and assume that it's okay, so we just encourage you to do some homework. Yeah, because everybody should have to do homework before asserting any kind of freedom or illusion of freedom with gaining permission. Just saying. Munoz says the officer is on administrative leave until the investigation is complete. Yeah, that's what they always say. We reached out to the Bureau of Land Management, who deferred us to RSO, who is charged with investigating the shooting, but did send us helpful links to off-roading and maps. Well, we will be sharing this link in the archives. Thank you again to the Free Range Report for reporting on this. The real question here is what gives these people the notion that it's acceptable to shoot at people that are going away from them? Now, I heard a comment from somebody, I don't know whether it's true or not, that I was out there and I was taking pictures and they were endangering people because they were going too fast, but they were not running down anyone and they were not heading towards an officer. No one's life was in direct danger, perhaps maybe of their own, but it's not the nanny state's job to protect them from themselves. It's certainly not the job of federal officers to shoot at people that are merely off-roading and have not committed a felony of any kind. So this really greatly disturbs me.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.